Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Are you blessed and highly flavored? Praise God. You are the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, and don't forget his benefits. You know, he's got benefits. Benefits. God's got benefits. If you're a child of the Most High God, you have a benefit. You have an inheritance. Hallelujah. You have a health plan. You have a retirement plan. You have everything. Everything. You are seated. You have special seats. You're seated in heavenly places. These are special seats. And you're also blessed with every spiritual blessing. What an inheritance. You know, we shouldn't even be here. Everybody go home. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven and ask for another drink. You're going to need it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, fill us afresh today. Because in your presence, there is fullness of joy. Let the refreshing of your presence restore to us our first love. Oh, how we need restoration to our first love. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, it is a season that God wants to overwhelm you with his blessings. He wants to put us into a place where we can't outrun the blessing. But it's going to take something. It takes obedience. It takes positioning. People want to be blessed by the Lord but are not willing to submit to him. They still want to do it their way. They go by how they feel. Oh, I just feel I can do this a little bit and do that. I'm telling you, those days are over. Those days are over. We are in a critical time right now. Very critical time. When the United States decides to give Egypt F-16 weapons and tanks, you know we're in danger. Come on, let's get real. So we see now that our government is now providing for Satan's military. Some people go, wow, that's frightening. No, that's reality. This is what's happening right now. They are gathering together to make war against Israel. And it's important that we continue to pray for Israel, speaking peace and protection and blessing to Israel. Israel is the time clock of the world. It's one of the events that will be happening. We are seeing it occur, manifest, and establish before our eyes. Do not lose sight. There are so many things that people are losing sight of. They're beginning to go backwards instead of forward. Their desires that they once had to do things in the kingdom have now been put aside to do things in the world. Danger. I see danger, danger, danger. Much danger ahead. We must be careful. We must be sensitive. We must have wisdom. We must constantly deny ourselves and stop living by out of the soulish arena and start living out of the spirit. This has got nothing with how you feel or how you think things should be. There's only one place, and that's his will. And only those who abide in his will be caught in the overflow of blessing. Only them. Other than that, everybody else will bless themselves. And then they'll have fear to maintain it. Woohoo! Glory to God. You got to be ready in season and out here, you know. You never know what's going to happen. Praise God. Would you grab your swords for a moment, please? Oh, hallelujah. You know, while we were praising and worshiping, it wasn't a sweet presence, you know, just hallelujah. I saw that, you know, if you go to the springs, and when if you go to the springs, if you see where the water's coming up from the springs, and it's just, that's what I saw in here happening today. It was just coming up. I'm like going, whoa. It was just flowing through, you know, and you know, we have a choice to either be ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, or drowned. And I'd rather drown in the presence of God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Turn to Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. Praise God. You know, the word tells us that Jesus came, right? He came to bring life and life abundantly. Amen? He came to bring life and life abundantly, but he came to be bring, first of all, he came to bring spiritual life. Spiritual life. A spiritual life of abundance. That means abundant revelation, abundant thirst and hunger, abundant overflow. Why? To establish and create in me and you a desire for such relationship with him that nothing else matters. In this abundance. See, so many times people look carnally. Well, he came to bless my socks off. Yeah. But first, his desire was that you would be blessed with the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That you would have a life abundantly in the Spirit. And the reality that only in the Spirit is there life abundance. In the carnal realm, you can have all the abundance, but no life. But in the spirit realm, you can have life abundance and use what you've been blessed with in the carnal to expand the kingdom of God instead of build your own kingdom. Amen. And in this time right now, when he says, I've come to bring you life and life abundant, that's what he's trying to do right now. In that area of the overflow, not only of his blood, blessings, but his presence, because it must be in his presence. Even David said that in your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures and treasures forevermore. You know, so there's this place that God is truly trying to bring us. You know, we have a tendency to want to run when things don't seem to go our way. We have a tendency to blame. Everybody likes to blame the fellowship, the pastor, this, that, whatever, the neighbor, the wife, the spouse, the this. You know what? You're accountable. We must come to a place that we are accountable, nobody else. You know, well, I got offended. Well, that's your choice. You have a choice. Well, I just don't. These are your choices. Amen? So we've got to come to a place where we stop blaming, amen, and come to a place of accountability. If you can't be accountable to man, there's no way you can be accountable to God. It's just not it's impossible. In other words, this is how he checks us, doesn't he? He checks us at our workplace. He checks us in all kinds of places of our life of accountability. The word says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. If you're not submitting to the things of God, you cannot resist the devil. Bottom line. So you'll have a sense of good, but are you doing the will? Are we really doing God's will? In Psalm 1 in verse 1, it says what? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I want to share something with you that is vitally important. And it seems like many people still don't get the fruits of ungodly counsel. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. Constantly, you'll know them by their fruit. You know, if we check our own fruit, we wouldn't have to check somebody else's. Because everybody would be checking their own fruit. Amen. But it's because people don't check their own fruit that we have a bunch of fruit checkers. Amen. And some of the trees have been contaminated, so they don't bear good fruit. They've been putting too much pesticides in them. That's called ungodly counsel. That's self-preservation. Self-preservation is ungodly counsel. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So, what is the man that walks in the counsel of the ungodly? He's blessed. What is the man that walks in the counsel of the... Wait a minute. What is the man that walks in the counsel of the ungodly? Cursed. And what is the man who walks in the counsel of the godly? Blessed. It says, nor stands in the path of sinners. In other words, who are you yoked with? I know you go to work and there's sinners there. That's okay. You're going to be a sign and wonder. But who are you hanging with? Are you hanging with somebody because of his prestige? Are you hanging with someone because they have money? Are you hanging... Hello? Who are you hanging with? Because they can do something for you? Does everybody got it? Who are we hanging with? Remember, who you associate with will bring impartations. Amen? That's where you're yoked. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Listen, you hang around with somebody that's always complaining and grumbling and angry and whatever, you're going to pick that up too. That person needs to go in their closet and lock the door for about a year. Verse 2. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, he meditates on the things of God. He examines himself. And in his law, he meditates day and night. It says that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of what? Water. That means if he's planted by the rivers of water, he's going to be refreshed all the time. It will produce fruit. That brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Shall prosper. Shall prosper. Again, this is spiritual prosperity. This is not about physical prosperity. Not saying we can't be physically prosperous. Amen? But what does the word say? What good is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? So in this, you and I must come to a place where we're not laboring for ourselves, we're laboring unto the Lord. Everything we labor for, there should always be an area of an attitude of, how can I help the kingdom? Yes, God wants you to pay bills. Yes, he wants you to prosper. There's nothing wrong with that. He wants us to be a sign and wonder in our prosperity. Amen? Our prosperity should be a sign and wonder and glory to God in our prosperity. Not that I did it. I worked hard all of my life. Our prosperity should give all glory to God. If there's really a relationship, truly. Amen? Truly. So in this, we either are blessed or we're cursed. In verse 4, it says, the ungodly, in other words, ungodly counsel, are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. And these are the rewards of the Lord. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So ungodly counsel comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Same thing. So you and I were birthed in darkness, weren't we? And we were born, I mean, you know, your old man is the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we must be careful in how we receive counsel. Counsel from the Lord produces a different fruit from ungodly counsel. They both produce different fruits. And there are times when some of the fruits will be similar. One will produce good, but the other will produce righteousness. One will produce lust, one will produce love. There's a difference. One produces freedom. One produces bondage. One produces fear. Amen? Fear. And the other will produce joy. So we must begin to look at the fruits of counsel. Always be able to see the end result. Seeing the end result. You know, so many times people will get caught up in the present result. They're only looking for fulfillment in the present, that they lose sight of what the end result will be. So people like to do things in an area where it feels good, and they're trying to improve how they feel, but never seeing the end result of how they're doing it. And is it improving the feeling of the soul, which brings bondage, or is it improving the sense and feeling of pleasing God? Are we pleasing God or are we pleasing man? And this is how we judge ourselves. And we must step back and always ask ourselves, not only who told me that, but where is that counsel coming from? Is this the counsel that the Lord... I'm telling you, I've gone to places and I've had people prophesy over me and I knew it was not my father. I shook that off right away. So that's not my dad. Why? The end result would have brought bondage. It would have seemed like a good thing, but it wasn't a God thing. See, people accept a good thing, but not the God thing. You may have a good deal, but not a God deal. See, so people accept a deal, but they don't realize that the result is going to bring harm. But because it was a good deal, we're to accept God deals. Because when they're God deals, he takes care of them. Amen? Remember, one is will promote pride. The other one will promote humbleness. Amen? Let's go to Genesis while we're close to it. Chapter 3. Some will have a form of godliness, but it's ungodly counsel. I can't tell you how many times I get calls from people that said they went for counsel and got this and this, and I'm like, oh my God. The Lord would never tell somebody some of these things that I hear. It's just amazing to me. In verse 1, now the serpent was what? More cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, as God indeed said to you, shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That sounds like a setup to me. It was a setup. You know, the enemy always likes to send you a question. I know that when I'm in the jail ministering and so forth, and there will be somebody who's always raising their hand, and that's all they're trying to do is cause you to trip. Jesus dealt with it too. And he always returned a question with a question. I had a guy in my class, that's all he was doing, crossword puzzles. Wasn't even following along, nothing. If it was my choice, I would have thrown him out. But he was in jail. Where could he go? And it was mandatory that he come into the class. So. Hallelujah. And then he asked a question, something about, I don't know, some goofy things. You know, that form of godliness counsel is, and it flies around through the traditions of men and stuff. And I said, that's not even a Bible. Do you read your Bible? Yeah, I read my Bible. Well, that's a funny-looking Bible. That's called a crossword puzzle. He said, well, some of the things you're saying I haven't heard. I said, of course not. You've been deceived your whole life. Of course, he didn't like that. I offended him. And I didn't care. I'm going to speak the truth, whether they like it or not. That's the truth. Amen? Because then there's not blood on my hands. Hallelujah. But just these traditions and all of this foolishness that people get. And then he shared with me the denomination he came from. And it's not always about a denomination. It's because of traditions of men that come down. And they come down and they teach the same thing. You know, I went to a church and nobody brought their Bibles. Everybody did a few things, passed the bucket around, put your couple pennies in there, and went home and watched football. Couldn't wait to get out of there. Kept looking at the watch. Is this over with? I mean, it was the same thing in the area. Couple opened the Bible, said three passages. That was it. I didn't learn anything. Because it wasn't a teaching ministry. You know, Jesus' ministry is a teaching ministry. Didn't they call him teacher? This wasn't just to come and say hi, eat cookies, drink coffee, and go home. It's a teaching ministry. Because freedom is learned. And trust is earned. People like to go to ministries that just a couple things. Get a couple goosebumps and leave. But they really haven't learned anything because the enemy steals, kills, and destroys. Amen? In verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree in which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So that was the counsel of the Lord, wasn't it? He was saying, listen, if you reject my counsel, you're going to die. Because the end result of rejecting godly counsel is death. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Let me share with you that ungodly counsel has a form of godliness, but it is a lie. It is a lie. Ungodly counsel is a lie. Does everybody got it? And it's promoted by the serpent, the powers of darkness, a demonic influence. Then the serpent said, you won't die. When the Lord said, you're going to die, right? So we see that ungodly counsel started, was even right there, wasn't it? Did Lucifer reject the counsel of the Lord in the throne room? Yes. And because he rejected the counsel of the Lord in the throne room, God removed him. So Lucifer is the root. You know, so many times people don't look at the roots, these spiritual roots that hinder them. The only thing that they're looking at is what the fruit is instead of taking the fruit and going to the root. And it's time that we took the fruit and went to the root and started cutting some of the stuff off and found out where these things came from. Who told me that and where'd you come from? Who told me that and where did you come from? We want to live by godly counsel, not ungodly counsel. That's why the seven attributes of the Holy Spirit is counsel. Counsel. So if you're really walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, have fellowship in the Spirit, you will receive counsel from the Lord. So everybody got it. The greatest counsel that you can receive is from the Lord. When you go in for counsel, it should confirm what the Spirit was already telling you, unless you missed it. Amen? James chapter 3. Fruits of ungodly counsel. James chapter 3 and verse 13. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Who is wise and understanding among you? James chapter 3, verse 13. Glory. Let's say it again. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of what? Of wisdom. Verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Wow. Why, is the truth godly counsel? Yes. What's ungodly counsel? A lie. Verse 15, it says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? Demonic. So is demonic wisdom ungodly counsel? Yes. Now, can you receive ungodly counsel and prosper in the physical realm? Yes. Hello. So everybody got it? Let's turn on the lights. Pull the light switches. Yes. Ungodly counsel can prosper you in the natural realm, can it? Amen. Okay, let's go a little further. Verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are what? There. Wow. So we see that the fruit of ungodly counsel is, of course, we know is influenced by demonic arena. It produces self-seeking. It promotes confusion. Amen. It will also promote distance and separation. Distance from the body and separation from God. It will promote distance from the body and separation from God. Ungodly counsel. Doesn't Jesus say, be in unity? Isn't that a fruit? That's a fruit of the Spirit, unity. Where there's separation and distance in the body and God, that's ungodly counsel. Why? Doesn't the wolf try to sway an individual from coming from the flock so he can eat the sheep? Amen? Isn't that his job? He does it very well. Listen, ungodly counsel always promotes division, strife. Promotes division and strife. Promotes hatred and violence. And verse 16 again. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. They're there. In other words, it has access. Because when ungodly counsel is released, all evil tries to feed off of it. Verse 17. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure, then what? Peaceable. Ungodly counsel's result is torment, unrest, uneasiness. In fact, that word dis-ease comes from there also. Dis-ease. You go to a doctor and he's going to give you ungodly counsel. You have this. You have dis-ease. Well, Jesus says, I have this. Everybody got this? It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's why it's, you know, if you do have a doctor, it's good to have a spirit-filled one. He's going to pray with you. He's going to assist you out of a pure heart. Amen? And he's not going to put labels on you. He's going to pray with you. He may tell you what some of the things are to adjust, what needs to be added and assisted so that you can live a long life and fulfill the full call that you have, so that you don't come short of the time that you have in this realm to fulfill the will of God. But there's a difference between ungodly doctor counsel and godly doctor counsel. Amen? But Jesus is the true physician. Hallelujah. In Exodus 18. Exodus 18. And verse 17. Moses was struggling because of all the stuff that was given to him. He was trying to handle it all himself. In verse 17, it says, so Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. Hallelujah. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen to my voice and I will give you what? Counsel. And God will be with you. Let me tell you, when it's godly counsel, God's with you. As long as you're cooperating with the godly counsel. Amen. Because you're submitting to godly counsel, you'll be blessed. But when you reject godly counsel, you'll be cursed. And God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. Again, even ungodly counsel will wear you out. Because it causes you to try and do something in your own strength. You must realize that you and I can't do anything in our own strength. That's why we need the strength in relationship, in the fellowship, and by the direction of the Holy Spirit. And when we receive the strength of the Spirit, we're able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Numbers 31. Numbers 31, verse 14. But Moses was angry with the officers of the army, with the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds who had come from the battle. And Moses said to them, "Have you kept all the women alive? Look, these women caused the children of Israel." Is everybody with me? "Through the counsel of Balaam." Ungodly counsel, again, comes from a demonic arena. "Through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident of prayer, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now, therefore, kill every man among the little ones and kill every woman who has known a man intimately. But keep alive for yourselves all the young girls who have not known a man intimately." In other words, these were the things that God was requiring to be established by the army, and they did not obey. In other words, when ungodly counsel, we know that produces death. Amen? Well, rejecting godly counsel, what else produce? Death. So we're headed on the way to death in this arena. Look at these women. These women were sacrificing, actually, their children. That was ungodly counsel. Look what the abortion is now. Is that ungodly counsel? You bet. How can this country, again, Planned Parenthood just gave out their statistics that they have aborted 1 million children in this country in 3 years. Is that incredible? 1 million children, Planned Parenthood, and the government gives money to them. Even the Girl Scouts do. Form of godliness. But the kids in the Girl Scouts don't know what's going on. It's the leaders. It's just incredible what happens, isn't it? Or what's going on behind closed doors. I'm telling you, for the last, I don't know how long, but the Lord has been having me pray against abortion clinics. And as a matter of fact, there is a law going into effect. They're fighting over a law right now that may close down many abortion clinics. So there's a fight right now legally. You know, people don't realize how devastating it is afterwards, even during it. And Deuteronomy 32. Man, when you hear some of these politicians and what's going on in this country and whatever, it's like, man, that is not godly counsel. And it's amazing because some of them are saying, yes, we have, people are some of these high mega places, mega churches and stuff that give some of these, the pastors go there to give counsel to the president. I mean, you hear about these things. Yes, well, this president gets counsel from this person, or whatever. Some of these pastors in the United States, and it's like, What kind of counsel are they giving him? What kind of counsel can they be giving him? Are they afraid to give him counsel? Are they afraid to speak the truth because of their office? You know, the president is a man. That's all he is a man. And our president is a lost man with much blood on his hands. Very lost. And so are all of his cabinet members. They need to go in there and let him have it. Here it is. Repent. Deuteronomy 32, verse 28. Would you speak it with me, please? For they are a nation void of what? What kind of counsel? Godly counsel. Nor is there what? Any understanding in them. Wow. Oh, that they were wise, but they understand this, that they would consider their latter end. See, they can't see the end result. Ungodly counsel will blind you and prevent you from seeing the end result. Ooh. Psalm 16. In verse 7. Let's speak it together. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. When you get godly counsel, the Lord is before you. Because he is at my right hand, I shall what? I won't be moved, no matter what. Therefore, my heart is glad. Oh, hallelujah. Gladness, joy, not sorrow. Not woes is measies. And my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. In other words, you have dominion over your flesh with godly counsel. Ungodly counsel promotes flesh, promotes the soul. For you not leave my soul in hell, nor shall you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of what? Life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. The joy of his counsel. Go to Proverbs 12. See, the enemy always tries to get you to stumble, right? That's his job. Proverbs 4. Did I say four? Hey. Okay, then Proverbs 12, verse 4. Hallelujah. Whoa. Are we ready? Strap it. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. But she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. You got to wonder where she's getting counsel from then, right? I wonder if I went to the right place. Verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. So ungodly counsel is deceitful. It brings deception. The words of the wicked are what? Lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand forever. Amen. Praise God. In Proverbs 24, in verse 5. Ooh. 24:5, let's speak it. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. By the wise counsel, you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. So listen, there's a war going on, isn't there? And if you're not receiving wise counsel, it's a matter of victory or defeat. Amen? In a war, there's battles, isn't there? Every day there's a battle. So we can either be victorious or be defeated. And when we're defeated, we go backwards, not forward. When you are defeated in battles, you have a tendency to go backwards and not forward. And so you pick up and realize, repent for it, and then go forward. So everybody got it? You have a choice. You can either be brought down under oppression, be oppressed by the enemy, or you can stand up, repent, and get back into position and turn from that way and receive godly counsel. And Hosea 4, verse 12. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them, for the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray. They have played the harlot against their God. Wow. Let me share something with you that is vitally important. It says in verse 13, they offer sacrifice on the mountaintops and burn incense on the hills, under oaks and poplars and terebinths, because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters commit adultery and your brides commit adultery. One of the things that the enemy loves to do, and he promotes ungodly counsels associated with lust. Lust brings people into bondage. The world is always impressing ungodly counsel. No matter what you look at, no matter what you turn to, no matter where you are, it always promotes lust, which is ungodly counsel, because lust brings bondage. It doesn't promote love, it promotes lust. And we must be careful in this arena. The world is always promoting lust, amen, and not love. And go to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So lust is ungodly counsel from the world. And what it always does is because it promotes ungodly counsel, it comes against the will of God. It says, little children, as the last hour, and you have heard the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Antichrist is coming against Christ. Amen? It says, they went out from us, they were not of us. Why? Were they caught up in lust? You know, lust can be lust of self. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So we see here that the world is coming against the anointing to prevent you from knowing all things by walking in the Spirit of God. The world promotes lust. Lust is bondage. It's slavery. God promotes love and freedom. It's different. In Jeremiah 7, the enemy snares many in lust. It destroys relationships with the Lord, with the body, and the future of an individual. Unless removed from that life. You know, lust can't let go. Love does. There's a difference between a lust affair and a love affair. Lust cannot let go. Love will. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23. Would you read it with me? But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I'll be your God, and you shall be my people. and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and dictates of their evil hearts and went what? Backward and what? Not forward. Wow. Again, ungodly counsel will always cause you to go backward and not forward. So everybody got it. Vitally important. In Isaiah 59. If you see these fruits happening in your life, of course, if you're not checking your fruit, you won't find them. Don't justify your own fruit. Expose it. Isaiah 59, in verse 4. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced. Oh, wrong one. I'm glad everybody's here to check it out, make sure I'm right. Thank you. I need your help. See, we need one another. Oh, by the way, Mom's doing fine. Yeah, she went through the surgery this morning, and they put a couple stunts in her. Stents? Oh. She was steady enough, huh? Okay. They put a couple stents in her. She's better. We won't go there. Isaiah 59 in verse 4. Is everybody there? Are you sure? Come on, let's read it together. You first. No one calls for justice, nor does anyone plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies. And from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Now listen, why is this happening? No godly counsel. Amen? See, what you speak is what you eat, right? As a man thinks it, so he is. Ungodly counsel. There's no peace in that arena. None. No peace. In Proverbs 15. Hallelujah. In verse 20. 15:20. A wise son makes a father glad. You want to make your father glad? Then get wise counsel. But a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. And a man of understanding walks what? Upright. Without counsel, plans go awry. But in a multitude of counselors, they are what? Established. You know, sometimes people seek counsel to fulfill their desire. They'll look for someone to fulfill their desire. Yes, I think I'll find someone that will agree with me. And then they'll agree with you and things get worse. They don't get better. They may have a temporary arena that the things are getting better, but they won't get better. Of course, again, you can receive godly counsel and still reject it. Amen? Amen? Let's go to Psalm 15. Fruits of ungodly counsel. Let's close here. I got a lot of stuff here, man. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. We're not there yet, I know. Psalm 15, verse 1. Let's speak it. Lord, who may abide in the tabernacle, who may dwell in your holy hill, he who walks uprightly, works righteousness, speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person does despise. In other words, he doesn't associate with that. See, because even if you approve of it, you are judged by it. Whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who what? Fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Does not change. What has changed in your life? Has it gone forward or backward? This is what you must search, have I gone forward or backward? Have I gone more towards the world or have I gone more towards the kingdom? Am I really examining myself? Am I being honest with myself? He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. It says, he who does these things shall never be moved. Why? Because he receives godly counsel. Amen? By receiving godly counsel, you will prosper spiritually and physically. But there's much ungodly counsel, and we must begin to see the fruit of the ungodly counsel that is happening, even in the body of Christ. There's a lot of soulish counsel. Soulish counsel is ungodly. It is the ministry of the Spirit, not the ministry of the soul. Amen? It is the ministry of the Spirit. I want to hear from God, not how somebody feels. Amen? Praise God. Father, we give you all glory, honor, and praise. We thank you, my Lord. We thank you for your mercies and grace. We thank you for your faithfulness. We accept your counsel today, Lord. And your counsel is to expose fruits of ungodly counsel. We accept it. We will examine it. We'll take it to heart. And we ask, Lord, that you protect this seed that was imparted today and quicken us and bring to remembrance those areas that we need to examine, that you may be glorified because we've accepted godly counsel and rejected ungodly counsel in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.